We're here with Steve Superville.
Yep.
And Steve, could you tell us a little bit about your position at Epic and what your work is in Paragon?
Sure. So I'm the creative director for Paragon, and my responsibility is basically everything in the game that is not processed through HR or stuff like that. Or publishing, I guess. We do have publishing people who do the publishing thing, but all the design stuff, basically everything the players interact with, is ultimately my responsibility.
Okay, so that's a lot of responsibility.
Yes, there is a lot in that.
One thing I want to ask you, for a lot of people maybe don't know what Paragon is. Can you just give a brief explanation to anyone who's listening to this who's never seen Paragon or played it or know anything about it?
Sure. So Paragon is a fully 3D MOBA where we took our love of action games and our love of MOBAs and what makes MOBAs magic and partnered those two things together in a hopes of bringing out the most competitive MOBA experience that we possibly can and do it in a way that values all types of players. So players who have MOBA'd before should be able to come in and have their use their knowledge and be competent and masterful. And players who have never played a MOBA before can come in with a action shootery type of background and find that those skills transfer for them to be effective also as they learn the MOBA rule set.
Sure. I'm on the side of I'm on the camp that I'm not really I don't really like MOBAs, full stop. But I love Paragon.
Awesome.
I can't really understand. I don't really know why that is because I shouldn't. I don't. So what's your main sort of your main goal with it? Is it really to try and get some sort of a crossover? You mentioned like a shootery type element with the mobile. Is that been the goal from day one to try and create this sort of hybrids, maybe not the best word, but something that people can relate to no matter what background.
Right. So I'm going to give you two answers. One is kind of the elevator pitch, and one is the more higher level kind of philosophical purpose behind Paragon. So the elevator pitch part is when we were doing this project, we realized that there was a promise that other MOBAs offered players, and lots of us in the office were MOBA players, and we spent a lot of time playing competitive games, trying to figure out what we wanted to make, and we didn't set out to make a MOBA. We set it out to figure out the competitive landscape, and then figure out what we wanted to do from there. So as we were investigating, we saw a lot of CG trailers that these big MOBA games put out, and they offer heroic fantasy, like well, fantasy is the best word I can come up with. They offered a fantasy that players would be experiencing. And then the gameplay that they gave players once players opted into that fantasy was vastly different. And the games are great, but those two things were very disjointed. And so one of the things we thought was, what if we can make the CG trailers of other MOBAs a reality in gameplay? And that's something that we found has appealed to a lot of people who haven't MOBA'd before because they haven't been able to get through the top-down clickety-clickety type of thing where you're the puppet master and you're very far from the action, and your decisions matter, but the impact of your actions don't really register on a kind of a instinctual human level. And so when we set about making Paragon, it being Epic Games and our pedigree of making kind of impactful player experiences, we wanted to bring those two things closer together. So I'm surprised and delighted that folks such as yourself who have rejected MOBAs before have found something to latch onto in Paragon. So that's kind of the more direct player focused reason for doing Paragon. The higher level philosophical reason, and the reason I think a lot of people latch on to MOBAs in general and hopefully Paragon specifically, is this idea of a fundamental human need that players have, or that just people have, to create stories and adventures together. And MOBAs are distinct from shooter games, where in a lot of shooter experiences, players have what I call accidental teamwork, where they are in the same space, like roughly pointing in the same directions and sending bullets that way, but they don't actually play off each other. I'm not playing with you Paul and watching what you're doing and then making a reaction based on it, because the thing that you're shooting at generally dies too quickly, so I look for my own thing to shoot. MOBAs have this magic where the story of combat is built out of player interactions, both teammates and opponents. And so you get this kind of unpredictable combat narrative that comes out of putting 10 superheroes all with asymmetric powers inside the same space with a life expectancy that's high enough for me to see you do something like rip a rock out of the ground and throw it through the air. And I'm already starting to make predictions about how I'm going to react when that rock hits and stuns the person that you're targeting, or when it misses and what that person's going to do. And so you build this kind of with the building blocks of player abilities and the amount of space the game gives you, you build this fantastic story that creates a bond between players. So when something like that happens, you want to go and tell your friends, or if you're playing with your friends, that's the story you talk about. And it's a very, very powerful kind of human thing that MOBAs offer over top of lots of other game types. So I know that's kind of a nerdy academic answer, but as creative director, I feel like one of my goals is to identify like the core human need that we can design a game around and that players will respond to, and then drive the project towards those things. So as a corollary example, like Minecraft would be creativity. Like people have a need to be creative and they've built an entire game around that. And for Paragon, it is this idea of needing to bond with other people and create something that is uniquely your own. So we have to do that inside of combat.
Sorry, go on. I
I said
didn't.
we have to do that inside of combat.
Okay.
Like that's the experience.
So having that sort of philosophy, I mean, certainly from playing with other players now for quite a number of months, and seeing comments from the community, the community is definitely split on where the game's going. And how are you guys trying to address the two camps, the people that want it to be okay, I want it to be like Dota 2 or League of Legends, and the other camp that's saying, no, I actually don't want it to be the same as that. I want it to be something completely different and unique. I mean, how are you managing to get this balance to sort of keep both camps stuck, to stick with the game and keep them happy?
Right. So we are, to be candid, we're feeling our way towards the right thing. So we feel like the best games, and if you read any of my blog posts, I say this over and over again. My team is sick of hearing me say it, but it really is our kind of operating philosophy, is that the best games are made as a partnership between devs and community. And so I've done, like, we've banned the phrase, we're making a game that we want to play. Because we're not making a game that we want to play. We're making a game for a large group of players who are strongly opinionated and are dedicating their playtime to us. At the same time, we can't design by committee. And so it very much is a hard challenge to figure out the best path forward. And we're doing that by experimenting. And we've tried our best to be transparent and open and honest with our community about this being an actual beta, right? We are doing grand experiments with our players, telling them exactly what's coming, sometimes better than others. We drop the ball occasionally there. But our goal is to tell them exactly what's coming, why it's coming, listen to their feedback, and then figure out the next thing and then do that thing.
So that in itself is, has obviously caused problems. You look at the 2.6, 2.7 patches. There's been quite a difference in the, sort of the way the gameplay mechanics are, which I'll touch on shortly in another question. So, I mean, are you do you think you're finding that sweet spot now? Is it close to that?
We are getting there. I'm a designer, so I'm never happy. it's still going to be a challenge because we know there are different groups of people that are looking for different things, and my goal in particular is to figure out those pieces that are unique, kind of universal to all humans, and try to nail those. And after that, people are going to have different flavors. Like we consume all of the feedback that is presented to us, and it doesn't really matter where we find it. We kind of seek it out on YouTube or Reddit or our forums or Twitter or Instagram or wherever. And there are people who have their personal tastes and their preferences. They like this particular hero, they hate that particular hero. And stuff like that is actually encouraging, because if we're doing our job right, there are people or characters that people will gravitate towards, and they will fall in love with a type of hero, or different types of hero, but particular ones in different groups. And they will despise other ones because they're harder to deal with, or according to their play style. And that is creating this environment where everybody has an opportunity to play within their personality and find a spot where they can contribute to the team, rather than lots of other games that say, well, if you want to be good, play like that guy. And so when we hear things like, I love where casters are, or I hate where casters are, we find that that's actually a healthy place to be, because that means we have both opportunity to grow, and we have captured the hearts and minds of some of our players. And our constant mantra has been, we are feeling our way through this along with you, and stick with us, because this is an adventure, not a one-stop destination.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple of game specific things now. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about match length. Now, obviously, as the patches have gone on, 2.6, 2.7, and so on, we've seen the match lengths really vary depending on what's happening with things like the inhibitors and so on, the card points and things like that. I mean, what are you looking for specifically for match length? What is that point you're trying to hit? Because even though right now I can have a game that lasts 35 minutes, but I can also have a game that's an hour 20.
So our goal is for the median match length, so 50th percentile, is in the 30 to 35 minute mark, and we're a bit off that. We were closer with the previous patch at around 37 minutes. Now we've crept back up into the 39 minute range for a median time, and so we'll keep working at bringing that down. The 75th percentile should be around 42 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, and the 90th percentile should be about 50 minutes. So our goal is to get matches to be shorter. We feel like that 30 to 35 minute match is the sweet spot. And at the same time, MOBAs are strategic and kind of a pendulum by nature. It's a very tug of war. And so what we don't want to do is arbitrarily end a match that is a great kind of back and forth. That being said, we know that some matches, in the hour plus range are way too long, and we need to find ways to abbreviate those.
And those ways are what? I mean, what is it you're specifically looking at right now with the beta only, a matter of weeks away? Is there anything in particular you're trying to target to get that match length to that point?
So we are targeting things that are basically player damage and life expectancy, tower health, minion movement speed. We're looking at minion damage to towers. Like, we have a lot of knobs, and one of the challenges is, because we aren't a well-established rule set yet, or kind of foundational design, we are both experimenting with the best changes to make us a highly competitive MOBA experience, and at the same time trying to keep match lengths down. Sometimes those two things conflict. So, as an example, when we were back in the transition from 26 to 27, we made some changes to damage numbers so that players had a higher life expectancy, and we expected players to adjust their behavior more quickly than they actually did by, focusing on objectives more, but they continued to be fearful of towers, because when towers shoot you, they hurt. And that caused match lengths to creep up. And so we made some adjustments in 28 and now 29, or 28, and the times came down by basically 10 minutes. The average match length came down by 10 minutes, which is a big step forward. And now with our changes for 29, we made more adjustments for the health of player combat. But that has allowed match lengths to creep up by 2 or 3 minutes again. So it's going to be a constant tug of war until we are basically out of beta to satisfy both the needs for competitive play and player decision making, and at the same time, match length. We are really just going to feel our way through it, because as the game changes, there's always unexpected fallout, and our commitment is to continue to improve.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, probably one of the most contentious topics, which is the travel mode and auto sprint. Now, right now, you can use travel mode's been gone, has now gone, and obviously that the ability to route players when they were coming at you in travel mode, that's gone. And we moved to the auto sprint model, which a lot of people, there's a percentage of the community that just don't like it at all. They want to see it out of the game. And there's the other people like myself. I'm in the other camp where I like the speed of the game, and the ability to move. What is your plan for this? Because as I understand it, and from going from comments from you guys, that I've read in the forums and blog posts, it is going to go completely. Is this actually going to happen?
So yes, it's going to happen. The timeline is the hard part. So we are doing tests internally to figure out the best way to remove auto sprint or travel mode. It's essentially the same thing from the game. And I've done my best to highlight the reasons for that. And the challenge is we currently have a map that all players play in, and whatever changes we make have to keep the game fun. And so we've tried a couple things that have not worked, and we are continuing to experiment, and the initial thoughts that we put forward didn't actually pan out. And this is one of the dangers of doing the live game in full view of the community, is that when you say that you're going to do something or you're going to experiment with something, and then you try it internally and it totally falls on its face, you're left a little stuck. And we've continued to say we fully intend to remove travel mode or auto sprint from the game to highlight reasons in a blog post that I did recently. And we are diligently powering towards what we hope is a good solution. We just haven't gotten to the spot where we're confident in talking about it yet.
What's you said mentioned? I mean, what specifically in your mind, and from the devs team point of view, did you said didn't work? I mean, what is it that specifically doesn't work for you guys?
Well, just flat out removing travel mode from Agora doesn't work in the sense that the space is so incredibly big that without that ability to move at a faster speed, matches can't end, because you'll wipe a team, kind of at your base or somewhere on your side of the map. And without travel mode, it takes so long to get to the other side of the map that they've respawned. One of the things we've avoided doing is basically just tripling the amount of time that people stay dead, because that's not fun. And so we're trying to find other things that we can do to allow transitions across the map to happen without requiring people to be dead.
So could
Such
that
a
be something like a card that you have to use, or a cooldown, or even just increase the base movement speed? Are these things that you're looking at?
Yes, all of those things are things that we are actively looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I know from my point of view as a player that if travel mode is completely removed and the movement speed stays as it is, that's it. I put the game down. Mainly because the thing that attracts me to Paragon, I think this is the same for a lot of players, is the speed. It is hitting that spot, like he's mentioned previously, where you have the MOBA elements with the action elements, and when you remove that speed, when you take that out, and you make a character less maneuverable around, as you say, quite a big play area, it then becomes something else. And I think a lot of people's concern is that it's going to be something else, or end up more like a standard MOBA, which, for someone who's not a big MOBA fan, that would be sad to see that happen.
Right. Well, I think people, I agree that it is a concern. I think people generalize their dislike of traditional MOBAs to the speed. I'm not sure that's entirely true, and that's the type of thing that we're working on experimenting with. Lots of times, at least in the conversations that I've had, as I've had a chance to travel around to shows like PAX and sit down with people over a beer, they often start with that idea that they like it because it's faster. But the sense of speed is relative. Like, the characters in a League of Legends or Dota or Heroes of the Storm actually move a bit faster than characters in Paragon. It's just that relative to the play space or your shooting distance, it feels different because your camera perspective is vastly different. So there's a lot more that kind of fits into our decision making than simply the pure speed. One of the things we know we need to maintain is that ability for people to build that combat experience that I was talking about earlier. So when we talk about speed, people tend to move between both movement speed of themselves, movement speed of the target, the life expectancy of a target, so how long combat lasts, and the length of a match. And all of those things are a factor in player satisfaction. And it's a very hard problem to juggle,
Sure.
as I think you can imagine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know this is it is something that's being developed live, and I think a lot of people who are playing it realize that. I think the fear for most people is that, okay, look, we're going to have a 3D League of Legends or a 3D Dota 2, and this is where the game's going to end up. And I think a lot
Sure.
of people who are playing it and really enjoying it don't want to see that. They want to have something different, and I guess that's their concern with the removal of travel mode in the game.
Yeah, I understand that. I would say, we've hopefully delighted and pleased them this far, and we'll continue to do our best to do the same in the future.
Good stuff. Good to hear. Okay, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the balance, the hero balance. And obviously, there's, as you say, things are changing constantly during the test, and casters took a hit and so on during, the last patch prior to it being sorted out. I mean, how are you approaching the balancing? Obviously, that becomes different as more heroes get added to the game. How is the team actually approaching it?
Hey Paul, it's Nick here. I'm just gonna. We have about like 5 more minutes.
Okay. Oh, cool. That was quick.
I'm gonna
Okay.
let him answer this, but I just want to sort of give you the timing.
Okay.
So right now we are in the foundation building stage for balancing heroes. We are balancing largely by class to try to get to a spot where we are certain of the way classes relate to each other and their roles as games progress, so early, mid, late game, and kind of the different responsibilities that are available on the map. And then once we get through that, we'll be able to transition to individual hero balance. So I know part of the frustration of the community is that we should be balancing heroes by basically individually, and we ultimately agree. It's just not the current place that we're at. Because we are learning how to build a MOBA, we're setting up our MOBA systems, and we're trying to build things in a way that allow us to quickly tweak the game as problems show up. So one of the things I've heard as an example is players want burst casters, and we fully intend to add burst casters, and simply because we haven't talked about it, people assume that we'd never want to, but we do. It's just that right now we don't have a burst caster. And as we release new heroes, they will start to show up. The analogy I've used, as I've done my best to talk with players on the forums or on Twitter or whatever, is we are building a very tall skyscraper, and each hero is a new story on that skyscraper. And if we don't get the foundation solidified, quickly, quicker than if we just decided to wait, then the higher the building gets with each new hero, the shakier it is at the top. So we are focusing our time on that foundation stuff. And it's not a, it's a less sexy place to be in terms of design, but we feel like it has the best outcome in the long run, if that makes sense.
Sure. Okay, I know I'm short of time. I actually have a ton of questions.
Yeah,
So I'm
we
just
got time
going
for one more. I'll shush Nick for just a second and we'll take one more meaty one.
I'm actually filtering through them now. Okay, I'm going to ask you about matchmaking because obviously this is another topic that comes up quite a lot. I think I'm level 41 or something right now, but generally I tend to find I occasionally end up in the game with someone who may have played 8 games. I mean, what are you doing right now with the matchmaking? How are you improving it?
Right, so we had a big step forward in improvement in matchmaking when we did draft mode for a couple of reasons. One, we took away a lot of the restrictions that the quick match imposed on the draft mode, or the sorry, in the matchmaking algorithm. Restrictions like when we release a new hero, everybody wants to play that hero, but you can only have one a team. And so when you have greater than X% of your population searching for that hero, it's very hard to build a team of five people, right? I mean, kind of the moment you have more than 20% of your population searching for one particular slot, you simply cannot build a team efficiently where everybody can get in a reasonable amount of time. So draft mode helped with that. It also put team composition in the hands of players, which means it was no longer, when there was a bad team competition, there could at least be a conversation between players in the draft lobby as people pick things, rather than the, well, Epic screwed me because they put five Rangers on my team and we have no support and no tank and no caster, so GG. We also were able to remove a restriction that we had in our code just because of the way we designed it, where parties, social parties could not be on the same team. So you couldn't have a party of two and a party of two and a solo player on the same team of five. That restriction went away. We can now have a party of two and a party of three, or, you know, 2-2-1 or 4-1, whatever. And that helps matchmaking time significantly. Past that, one of the things we're doing is rewriting the entire backend of the matchmaking system. Because right now we are a client-side matchmaking where each client essentially advertises that they are looking for a match or a party. And then they get partnered up and then stuck in another in a lobby with five other people, and then off they go. And it doesn't allow us a lot of control, which is a lot of what people are looking for, because we don't know who's going to be matchmaking at any particular time, and everyone can't see everyone else, because that would be a, you know, geometrically bad problem. So what we're working on is a unified monolithic matchmaking server that is not client-side based. It's basically you register yourself with a server saying you're looking for the match. And because there's only one server per region, the server knows all and is able to do a much better job of grouping people together. And that is a, you know, when we say we're in beta and we're gonna be bold and, you know, not make small tweaks when a full rewrite is the thing to do, that's one of those full rewrite things that we're working on.
Okay, I got two questions. Hopefully you can do them quickly. I know you're short on time. The PC and PS4 player issue is something that rages on continuously. Are you at any point going to offer an opt-out option so PC players can just play with PC players like we've seen in games like Rocket League?
We don't know. What we've seen is that as people play, they get up to speed and their MMR kind of levels out to where they should be. One of the largest challenges we've seen with our console players is that they just tend to not be MOBA familiar. And so what we've watched is people come in, you know, at roughly the entry level MMR, and then as they learn the game, they start doing MOBA things like warding and picking a lane and rotating for team fights and using harvesters and pushing towers. Whereas very early on, they just group up and try to team deathmatch. So we really don't believe that controller or input device rather is a limiting factor for how players actually play the game. It tends to be that experiential growth that PS4 players start with a deficit to compared to PC players, simply because there's not, like, this is one of the first MOBAs on console, and PC players have a huge plethora of choices that they've been playing for years. Maybe, but there's nothing we've seen right now that we want to commit to splitting the population. Partly because, you know, the matchmaking times improve for everybody when people play together.
Do you think that's a communication issue as well? Not being able to communicate quite as easily on the PlayStation as you can on the PC.
Absolutely. Okay. And like one of the things I'd love to do to solve that is to introduce VoIP. But voice would mean we need to do cross-platform, and that's a much harder challenge than simply doing voice on PS4 or simply doing voice on PC. We have a high percentage of our games that are a mix of both PS4 and PC players, both partied and solo. So we're doing our best to prioritize that work. It's something we'd like to push towards, just like we have kind of seamless cross-platform support for everything from purchases to friends lists and stuff like that.
Okay, with the beta just starting as well, I mean, what's coming up during the beta? Is there anything we should be looking for that's new? Are you looking for things like new game modes beyond that? What's the future of Paragon in the next, say, month or so?
We are not a new game mode. We are looking to open the game up and remove the paywall so that largely so that people can play together. One of the complaints and requests I've seen over and over again is, I'd really like to play with my friend, but that friend is not willing to, you know, purchase into Paragon for whatever reason. And so it's a big step to simply remove that paywall and open it up to the world. After that, we have tons of things we're working on. I mean, heroes, skins, cosmetic things that we're adding to the game that we're looking forward to sharing. We have card crafting coming up, not for open beta, but hopefully very soon after that as we work through the final polish passes of it. And we're just going to keep grinding forward and adding things to the game to help it grow.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I'm probably out of time now. So thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Paul.